This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
It's an area where, you know, you could see this interesting overlap between advocates of clean energy and sort of more conservative advocates of national security and domestic supply and not wanting to be dependent on foreign countries.
If you follow tech news, it's pretty hard to miss stories reminding us of the tremendous potential that lithium batteries have in store for the world. Longer times to gaze into our dazzling new smartphones, and longer distances to travel in our cutting-edge electric cars without a charge. And yet, most of us probably don't think too much about the environmental cost of mining all of this lithium. In Australia and South America, where 80 to 90% of the world's raw lithium comes from, the extraction process is dirty and energy intensive. This week on Sea Change Radio, we speak to Sammy Roth of the Los Angeles Times about the promise of extracting lithium in a much cleaner way right here in the United States. We learn about plans to extract lithium from the Salton Sea geothermal fields in the Southern California desert, how this process will be viewed by environmentalists, and what it could mean for the lithium industry. I'm joined now again on Sea Change Radio by Sammy Roth. He is a staff writer for the Los Angeles Times. Sammy, welcome back to Sea Change Radio.
Happy to be with you, Alex.
So since we last spoke, you've moved from the Palm Desert Sun to the Los Angeles Times. Congratulations on the new gig.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And you're still doing terrific work in the climate and environment space. I wanted to discuss a piece you wrote in mid-October called Lithium Will Fuel the Clean Energy Boom. This company may have a breakthrough. We often hear about lithium batteries and their storage capabilities and how that's improving, but we don't think too much about the raw materials. You did a piece looking into how lithium is potentially going to be coming in fairly large quantities from the Salton Sea in the California desert. Why don't you explain a little more, if you can, for our listeners?
Sure. So you're right. Most people don't really think about where the lithium comes from. And this is, you know, lithium ion batteries, which are used, you know, not only electric vehicles, but also energy storage systems for storing solar power, even in our smartphones. It's a really, you know, increasingly ubiquitous product that one of the key ingredients is this raw lithium, and for the most part, it's mined right now in other countries and in sort of environmentally destructive ways. You've got hard rock mines in Australia and these big evaporation ponds in South America that are just, you know, ecologically really damaging ways to create this lithium mineral to extract it from the environment. So what's interesting about this resource at the sort of southern end of the Salton Sea in Southern California in the desert, it's this really strong geothermal hotspot. So it kind of has to do with the San Andreas fault running through that area. You've got this underground reservoir sort of thousands of feet down and these rock fractures where you have this superheated fluid that's much closer to the surface of the earth than it would be in most places. And you've got a bunch of geothermal plants down there that have traditionally used this reservoir for, you know, geothermal energy production, which is renewable and carbon-free. So that's, you know, has its virtues for that reason. There are 10 or 11 plants down there, and for a long time there have been efforts to use this brine, this salty underground superheated fluid, for lithium production, because there are a whole bunch of minerals in this fluid, different salts of different kinds, and one of them is lithium. So you would think, you know, you're piping this stuff up to the surface, you're flashing steam off of it to turn turbines and generate electricity, and then you're injecting the stuff back down into the ground, which is what makes it renewable. It goes back down, it reheats. You would think it would be a pretty simple thing at some point in that process to extract the lithium from this fluid, and there's a whole lot of it down there. I mean, you could have really globally significant quantities if the process took off. It's just been really hard to do. It's this really corrosive fluid. It hurts the pipes. You know, this stuff is, you know, sort of really high temperature. It's just, for a lot of reasons, it's just been really technically difficult to find a cost-effective way to get the lithium out of the fluid that doesn't also screw up the geothermal process. And what I've been writing about is now there are some companies that seem like they, you know, they claim to finally have figured out how to do it.
Yeah, so energy source, is it geothermal plant or is it projected to be just a lithium plant? I wasn't quite following that in the piece. Would that be a byproduct of the electricity that this geothermal plant is producing, or is it completely separate?
That's a good question. So I think whether, you know, whether the lithium is a byproduct of the geothermal or vice versa is a, you know, sort of depends on how you look at it. Energy Source is an existing company that operates one of the 11 existing geothermal plants that are down at the southern shore of the Salton Sea. Their facility opened in 2012. It's called the Featherstone plant. Interesting side note, the other 10 are all owned by a subsidiary of Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway empire. So Energy Source is sort of the, you know, the smaller independent player out there, although they have big global companies that are involved in their ownership as well. Energy Source has developed, you know, they've been working on this for several years. At first, they, you know, they had a partner company they worked with called Symbol Materials. Symbol went bust. Since like 2016-ish, Energy Source has been, you know, working at its geothermal plant with the brine that it uses for energy production to try to develop a, you know, an economically feasible lithium extraction process. And they say they have figured it out. They, you know, I was down there, I toured their plant, they showed me this little sort of shipping container where they've built up a pilot, you know, scale, you know, small version of what they hope to be ultimately a big commercial facility, where they have this multi-step process to take the lithium out between the time where the brine has been used to generate energy and the time that it's injected back into the ground. You know, if this works and if they can, you know, finance this plant, and they say they need about $350 million for it, you know, if it works out as they hope it will, and they, you know, do this at their own facility and potentially sell the technology to some of the other geothermal plants down there, you could certainly be in a situation where the lithium is lucrative enough that that, you know, people are building new geothermal plants mainly for the lithium revenue stream rather than for the energy. That's still somewhat of a long way off at this point, but that's, you know, that's kind of the vision of folks who are trying to get lithium to work.
And you mentioned in the piece that South American and Australian mines are where most of the world's lithium is coming from. Are these similar in their geothermal profile, or are these just traditional mines?
No, so actually none of those are geothermal based. These are traditional mining techniques. Because in Australia you have, you know, sort of hard rock mines where you're digging the stuff out. And in South America you have these big evaporation ponds where you're sort of letting large quantities of water evaporate out in these, you know, massive, you know, basically mini lakes to leave the lithium powder behind. So no, what's really unique about the Salton Sea resource, in addition to the fact that it's domestic to the U.S. There's no other major U.S. lithium production right now, so this would, you know, there's sort of an economic argument for, you know, if we're going to have a big battery boom in the U.S. and an electric vehicle boom, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could source this mineral ourselves rather than importing it? But the other thing from an environmental perspective is that, you know, it's just much, much less destructive. I mean, you really don't have, you know, much of an environmental impact at all after, you know, the existing footprint of the geothermal plant, which is pretty small, frankly.
So China dominates battery manufacturing.
Right.
Could we see the U.S. get into the manufacturing side of things as well if they're going to be producing a decent percentage of the world's raw material of lithium down the road?
Yeah, I think that's kind of a second-order goal of this. It's, you know, first they got to see if this, you know, make it actually work and build these commercial lithium extraction facilities. But yeah, that's kind of the long-term vision here. As you said, China is the big battery manufacturer. They're doing cathode production there. So the idea would be, yeah, if you can get this really significant domestic resource, why not build the supply chain right here? And in fact, you know, Imperial County, where this is, you know, this would all be happening down in the southeastern corner of the state, it's, you know, it's one of the most, you know, economically depressed parts of California. It's got the highest unemployment rate in the state consistently, fairly low incomes. It's a, largely agricultural based economy. So a lot of the, you know, the ag work is seasonal and low paid. Not that everyone's in, you know, in agriculture, but it's a big part of their economy. So I think they have a lot of hope as well that if this works out, that this could be, you know, this could be a boom for them to see not just, you know, more geothermal and more lithium, but also perhaps battery manufacturing. You know, important caveat, this is something that, you know, they've hoped for a long time. It's something that hasn't panned out yet. But the fact that, that this company, Energy Source, you know, says it's had this breakthrough and you've got, you know, other companies, Berkshire Hathaway is, you know, working with the Department of Energy as well, trying to do research into, you know, lithium extraction techniques of their own. You've also got another company, an Australian firm called Controlled Thermal Resources, that's planning a big lithium and geothermal project. You know, there's a lot of activity in the area and a lot of hope and sort of more hope, I think, that it's going to work out in the near term than there has been at any point before.
Hearing the Imperial County name, I couldn't help but think of the investigative piece that you did for the Desert Sun, and we had you come on Sea Change Radio and talk about the Imperial Irrigation District and some of their conflicts of interest that they had in the district. Would the irrigation district be playing a role in the setting up of the energy source plant? How much water basically is needed? Is this like fracking in terms of water supply, I guess is my question.
Right. That's a good question. So, I mean, the big picture is the Imperial Irrigation District plays a role in everything that happens in Imperial County because they, one, control the water, and two, I believe are the largest landowner as well. I know the federal government has a bunch of the land under the Salton Sea, but I've got to think IID is bigger holdings. But anyway, so yeah, so I mean, for instance, the, you know, I mentioned the company Controlled Thermal Resources, which is planning its own very large geothermal and lithium project. That's on land that they've leased from, you know, leased from the IID by the shore of the sea. With Energy Source, I don't think there would be any, you know, much bigger water demands than they have now. I think that it would be about the same as what they're already using for their existing plant. It's definitely not like fracking where you're, you know, injecting water underground. I mean, they're bringing stuff up from under the surface and running it through a bunch of pipes and tubes, basically, and then injecting it back down. That's the, you know, that's the gist of their process. And there might be a little bit of extra water use associated with the extraction in the middle there. One kind of nuance to this, since you mentioned my previous reporting on conflict at the Imperial Irrigation District. There is an ongoing lawsuit between a local farmer named Mike Abadi and the irrigation district that has to do with this this water conservation and water distribution program that IID had that was basically challenged in court by Abadi, who said this is unfair, this is going to lead to the taking away of water that, you know, I rightfully deserve based on my history of usage of said water and my land ownership. There is a ruling from a judge right now, although IID is appealing it, that ruled in Abadi's favor. And in fact, IID earlier this week was going to be revising a contract for one of the other geothermal operators sort of further south in Imperial County to slightly increase, I believe, or at least slightly change their water supply allocation. And Abadi's lawyers challenged that and said, no, you can't do this. This is a violation of the judge's order because, you know, you're not allowed to sign new water supply contracts now that could disadvantage farmers. So anyway, there's a lot of weird stuff tied up in that, but I don't think it will affect lithium extraction, although it could affect plans for new geothermal in the future if the ruling isn't overturned on appeal.
I'm so happy 'cause today found my friends are in my head. I'm so ugly, that's okay, 'cause so are you. Book on ears, Sunday morning is every day for all I care. And I'm not scared, light my candles in our days, 'cause I found God. Yeah!
To listen to Sea Change Radio anytime, anyplace, just subscribe to our free podcast. Simply follow the link from seachangeradio.com or search for us in the iTunes podcast directory.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to Sammy Roth of the Los Angeles Times. So, Sammy, you were talking about the evaporation techniques that they use in South America to produce lithium. These are not very environmentally sound, I imagine. And so is that one of the promising parts of this salt and sea plant in terms of producing lithium in a cleaner way?
That's certainly part of the promise of it. And it's, you know, interestingly, it's not just lithium. It's, one of the other minerals that's really critical in lithium ion batteries is cobalt. And I think it was the Washington Post a couple of years ago that did a really powerful investigative story looking at the fact that much of the cobalt that's, you know, used in the batteries for our cell phones and electric cars and whatnot is like mined by children in really dangerous conditions in the Congo in Africa. So it's interesting just because obviously there are good reasons to have clean energy technologies. I mean, we have climate change, we have greenhouse gas emissions, and that's sort of why lithium ion batteries are so important to, you know, help make the transition off of fossil fuels. But at the same time, you've got to be aware that, you know, some of the minerals and, you know, the ingredients that go into this stuff, you know, it has to come from somewhere. So when you look at lithium, I mean, yes, part of the vision with that is if you could get it in a way that didn't involve, you know, destructive mining techniques in other parts of the world, and you could do it here in a way that was cleaner, like everyone could probably get on board with that.
And would the same technique be used in mining at the edge of Death Valley, not that far from the salt and sea plant that we're discussing? Because that is one that raised the ire of environmentalists, correct?
Yeah, so that's a different, the geothermal thing, again, is pretty unique to the Salton Sea. I mean, there are certainly geothermal resources elsewhere. I don't know if any of them are as briny and as high in lithium content as this one here. It's a little bit of a unique spot. But yeah, in terms of the, you know, there's, as you said, there's proposal to mine lithium at the, you know, I think at the just south of the edge of Death Valley National Park. There's also now a proposal for a new mine in Nevada, and those, I think, although I'm not an expert on either of those, I think those would use more traditional sort of metal mining techniques, hence the opposition you see from environmentalists in Death Valley.
How does the existence of this gigafactory play a role in plans for lithium production? There's an international commodity market for lithium, I assume, but there must be an extra edge to having it right nearby where these batteries are being produced.
That's an interesting question. There's kind of a cool Tesla angle to this whole Imperial Valley story, which is that, you know, that this company I mentioned earlier, Symbol Materials, which was originally this technology startup that was originally working with Energy Source, trying to use their brine with their, you know, to run in Energy Source's brine through their own proprietary technology to make lithium. Symbol ultimately went bust. This was back in like 2015. But one of the interesting things that happened at that point that was sort of unknown at the time, and then I reported it later, was that Tesla actually made an offer to purchase this company, Symbol Materials, to acquire it at an offer price of $325 million, which you would think, well, and then that was at a point when Tesla had never actually acquired another company before. I think they have one or two since then. That offer, for whatever reason, I was never was able to fully tease out what had happened, but the company sort of Symbol came back and said to Tesla, actually, we think we're worth $2.5 billion. Deal fell through a month or two later, a couple of months after that, Symbol fired its entire staff and went kaput, essentially. But there was all of this speculation at the time when this was happening of would Tesla build its gigafactory down in the Imperial Valley where they would have access to this lithium resource, at least in theory. I think it was probably overhyped at the time, but it sort of started when the Imperial County supervisors, I think, reported out that a Tesla representative had come to visit them and to see Symbol Materials technology. So there was definitely hope at the time that maybe they would build the gigafactory there. Then they ended up announcing it for Reno. So to sort of circle back around to your question, yes, I think there's definitely an advantage to be had for someone like Tesla or whoever else is manufacturing batteries to have a local source. I think that at the end of the day, it's you know, still going to be economics, right? I mean, if you can get something cheaper from overseas, we live in a global economy. There's lots of, you know, overseas, you know, import of lithium right now from overseas. Like, if that's still the cheapest resource, that's what they're going to do. But if it can be, you know, produced, you know, at around the same price locally, like, yeah, I'm sure that people are going to want to, you know, get it locally rather than, you know, shipping it from overseas, especially if you're a company that's trying to reduce emissions and show that you're environmentally friendly.
And just to recap a little bit, let's go through the numbers of lithium production now and what this Salton Sea project is hoping to produce in terms of quantity.
Right.
Where are we now in terms of annual production? And that's obviously supposed to ramp up significantly.
Yeah, so the data I got from Bloomberg New Energy Finance, which is a, you know, a research and analytics firm that has some of the best data on clean tech type stuff, what they told me was that in 2017, global lithium demand was 300,000 tons. They project that growing sixfold to 1.8 million tons by 2030, which is just about a decade from now. So that's a pretty substantial increase. You know, the Salton Sea resource, still a little bit of a question mark, you know, what the, you know, what's really going to be produced there. But the technical potential is quite high. You could have, you know, you could probably have a couple of 100,000 tons being produced there annually. Energy Source says that their initial commercial facility, they think they can do 16,000 tons. They think they can expand that to 100,000 if they apply it to the other existing geothermal plants. And of course, then you get, you know, a lot more than that if this facilitates new geothermal plants getting built, which is, you know, I'm thinking, you know, you've got technical potential in the several 100,000 tons for sure. You know, it's not like it's going to be the largest supply source globally in all likelihood, but the analysts I talked to, they said, yeah, it could be really significant. It's something that would definitely impact global markets in a significant way, even if it doesn't, you know, automatically become the, you know, new best source of lithium.
That was my question about some of these other mines in Australia and South America and elsewhere. How tapped out are they? Are these?
They're not. They're not tapped out. We're not running out of lithium. This isn't a scarcity question. It's a, you know, question of cost and a question of environmental impact. One other thing that we haven't talked about, although sort of alluded to it, is just, you know, that, you know, in terms of the benefit of domestic production, one of the things that I think is really interesting about this whole story is that it sort of cuts across traditional political lines, where the Trump administration, I think it was either last year or the year before, put out a list of 35 critical minerals that they say are, you know, important for U.S. economic and national security to have firm domestic supplies of, and one of those minerals is lithium. You know, think about it sort of falls into, you know, it in a way, it's basically, it's mining. It's something that the Trump administration has been clearly supportive of, that sort of lines up with their, you know, sort of vision of extractive economies being a positive for the United States. You know, but it just so happens in this case, the, you know, the critical mineral, the metal that needs to be found somewhere is something that's, you know, real important for clean energy purposes. So it's just, it's an area where, you know, you could see this interesting overlap between advocates of clean energy and sort of more conservative advocates of national security and domestic supply and not wanting to be dependent on foreign countries sort of coming together and all being in favor of this. I mean, you have the Department of Energy, as I mentioned earlier, is, you know, actively working with Berkshire Hathaway Energy and others who are interested in figuring out how to tap this Salton Sea resource.
20 long miles from town, my old car broke down. The clutch is shot and the sun is so hot. Oh, what I'd give to be home. 19 miles from town, my old car broke down. The battery's dead, man, like I said. Oh, what I'd give to be home. Slipping and the engine's missing. Oh, what I'd give to be home resting my bones. 17 miles from town, my old car broke down. Just my luck, I got the fuel.
Follow the shift to sustainability with Sea Change Radio on Twitter at twitter.com/SeaChangeRadio and on our Facebook page.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio, and I'm speaking with Sammy Roth of the Los Angeles Times.
So, Sammy, maybe you can put the importance of the geothermal production in context from this region. I've read that California and Nevada account for about 96% of all geothermal energy output in this country. How important is this resource for the region?
So in California, most of the geothermal comes from two places. One is down in Imperial County, most of which is this Salton Sea, you know, oriented research we've been discussing. And the other is this big set of plants called the geysers in Northern California, which are one of the biggest, you know, sources nationally of geothermal as well. So to sort of get at your question, like, yeah, I think that the geothermal energy story is a really interesting one. It is unlike... It is similar to, but unlike, solar and wind energy in that it is renewable, it is carbon free, but it's also not an intermittent resource. You know, solar is sort of dependent on when is the sun out, unless you have batteries, which increasingly we do. Same with wind, it's dependent on when the wind is blowing. With geothermal, it's a resource that's available around the clock. I mean, these are plants that can operate, you know, for the most part, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, you know, minus time down for, you know, some time down for maintenance. But, you know, it's a resource that's going to be there for you when the sun sets and when the wind dies down. And so, you know, there's definitely been a strong argument from some quarters in California that, you know, even though the upfront costs of building a geothermal plant are, you know, much higher than building a solar farm or a wind farm, which is why you haven't seen much new development, you know, in the last 10, 15, 20 years, that this could be a resource that's really valuable to have as we, you know, are more and more dependent on intermittent solar and wind, that this is actually a climate-friendly resource that, you know, would provide a lot of value by virtue of just being available when it's needed. And you know, from the perspective of, you know, whether it's the Trump administration or others who are typically, you know, conservatives who are more skeptical of solar and wind power, you know, what you hear from them all the time, what you've seen from the Trump administration is this idea of baseload energy, that we need to, you know, save the coal plants and the nuclear plants from, you know, the economic competition that's driving them out of business because they are baseload, they're available around the clock. And, you know, regardless of the merits of, you know, merits or not of those arguments, here you've got geothermal, which, you know, is climate friendly and is also baseload. And so it's something that, you know, again, could sort of cut across traditional lines of political support.
I forgot about the geysers. It's actually not that far from where I am. It's about 100 miles north of San Francisco. I mean, it's the world's largest geothermal field. Do these geothermal plants have a similar profile in terms of lithium extraction, or is that unique to the Salton Sea area?
I don't believe they do, although I have not reported much on the geysers, but I'm fairly certain this is a unique situation with the Salton Sea.
Sammy Roth from the Los Angeles Times, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Happy to be here, Alex.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise.
Additional music by Stevie Wonder, Nirvana, and Lee Dorsey.
Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.